President Donald Trump signed the Laken-Riley Act Wednesday afternoon, and this bill requires the federal authorities detain immigrants who lack legal status and are accused of crimes, including even misdemeanor offenses, with the potential for deportation. And the catch here is this could happen even before they are actually convicted of a crime. So, of course, there are questions surrounding this and a lot of concerns. And we wanted to hear directly from one of our legal experts, a better understanding. So Attorney Bill Bloss is back. And Attorney Bloss, always appreciate connecting with you on these types of matters and getting better understanding. Could you break this down for us a little bit more, help us to understand exactly what it means for people?
Sure. Basically, in a nutshell, what the Act requires is that the federal government is required to mandatorily detain any immigrant who is here without status. That means somebody who has crossed the border illegally, but who has applied for asylum or some other waiver, but has not been adjudicated yet. If that person is accused of certain crimes, shoplifting, theft, burglary, assault on a police officer, a DWI, and some others, then the government is obligated to mandatorily detain them without bond, regardless of the outcome of the criminal case, and to deport them. So it's a big change. It's something I think sitting here today on January 30th, we've got a lot more questions and answers about how it's going to be implemented, how it's going to work, where's the money going to come from to pay for detaining another 40 or 60,000 additional immigrants, which is what the estimates are, because the bill has no funding in it. And so ICE is saying that they may have to release some currently detained immigrants in order to enforce this act. So it's very much up in the air.
Bill, what's a little bit confusing about this, and maybe you can give us some clarity on this, is if you have somebody who is accused of committing a crime, let's say shoplifting, and somebody gets arrested because they match the description of the suspect. But what if they're not the actual person, but they are here of illegal status? Does the same thing apply for them, essentially? I think that's one of the big concerns for people. Is this just a way to sort of round up more people who are here illegally?
Well, the language in the act is accused. And so, no, there does not have to be a conviction. It can be, and not everybody who's arrested is guilty. And that happens. The standard for an arrest is probable cause to believe an offense has been committed. The standard for conviction is beyond a reasonable doubt. So some people who are arrested are acquitted. Some people who are arrested simply didn't do it. There's a case of mistaken identity. There's a false statement by a witness. So, but this act makes no distinction between any of those. It paints with a very broad brush.
Right. I mean, and again, I don't have any of the numbers to back this up, but I think the concern for people, whether you agree with the idea of mass deportations or not, is you could have essentially innocent people who, yes, they're here illegally, but innocent people who are mistaken as suspects in crimes being detained and then just deported without due process. Do I have that correct, Bill?
Well, the due process is through the immigration court, but so there would be they would have a right to a hearing as to whether they were in the country legally or illegally, but that's all. And you either are or you aren't. And so, you know, this has some very broad implications. There's an old saw in the legal world that bad facts make bad law, and the facts underlying the Laken Riley case, I mean, it couldn't be worse, right? They're horrible facts. An immigrant crossed over the border illegally in 2022, went into the system, went into the applied for asylum, went into the immigration court system, but then was arrested for shoplifting and not detained, was arrested for an offense in New York and not detained, and then murdered this nursing student, Laken Riley. And it's a horrible, horrible,
horrible
situation.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be worse. I mean, that's the Congress's reaction to it is going to cause some people who don't deserve to be the treatment that they're going to get to be treated very, very harshly. For example, this law applies to the so-called dreamers, people who were brought here at age two, for example, and have been living here for 25 years and gone to college and got a job. But it turns out that when they were in high school, they shoplifted a pack of cigarettes. That person 10 years ago committed a shoplifting offense. That person is mandatorily detained and deported under this act. And
So Bill Bloss, I didn't realize that. So they're also looking at past convictions? I didn't realize that.
Sure.
I thought this was just like moving forward. Wow, that's a big deal.
No.
That's a big deal. I didn't realize that.
And Melissa, there doesn't even have to be an arrest. There can be if an immigrant is interviewed by an immigration officer and the immigrant admits to an offense, that makes them mandatorily deportable and detained. Under this act, correct?
Wow.
It's very broad. It's very broad.
Well, and you know what I'm interested about, Bill Bloss, is it was brought to my attention earlier this month, actually, that there was another bill that addressed this in some regard, but it was a little bit more, I'd say, lenient, if you will. It was also a Republican-led bill, but it was called Preventing Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act, a very lengthy title. But it had passed with even more than a quarter of Democrats voting in support, which included our own Congressman Jim Himes. And when I talked to Congressman Himes about it, I said, what's the big difference between this act? Like, why would you support this one but not the Lake and Riley Act? And it was exactly for what we started this conversation off with. He said, well, you're talking about people being deported after they have a confirmed conviction, once they've been convicted. He said, I can get behind that, obviously. He said, but if you're just going to pull people who have been accused of a crime and they haven't even had their day in court, he said, I have a really hard time supporting that. And so I'm a little bit confused as to why we have... Essentially, I would imagine that other bill was also created after Lake and Riley. I mean, again, that case is horrific. And if it doesn't shake people to the core, there's something wrong with you. But both of them were created, I would think, in Lake and Riley's honor or following her case. I mean, I'm surprised that this one got signed. And I don't even when the other one did get bipartisan support, technically, I'm a little confused why you'd need both bills on the books, I guess, because they're different.
Well, ICE has always had the ability to deport people who are convicted of crimes. This isn't anything new. And I've represented people who have detainers placed on them, detainer meaning an order that the person should not be released from jail but should be turned over to ICE when the person's sentence is finished. That happens every day. And so in some respects, the only thing new about this is the moving up the triggering event from a conviction to an accusation. And so that's, I think, what has caused some people to be concerned about it. Let me give you a practical issue. Connecticut does not have any ICE detention facilities. And so somebody who is arrested for shoplifting is released on bond, but then taken into custody by ICE under the Lake and Riley Act is going to be sent somewhere, is going to be sent to Massachusetts or a facility in New Hampshire that has a contract with ICE to hold detained people. Mm-hmm. So how's that person going to get to court? Is that person, is as far as the state of Connecticut is concerned, it's out of the state of Connecticut's custody. That person could actually be deported without ever going to court to challenge the fact of the arrest and the basis for the arrest. So I don't know how that's going to get worked out, but it's possible that somebody gets arrested, deported, and then the case is dismissed because the case is weak, or because a witness recants, or because video evidence shows that the person wasn't there. But it's too late; the person has been sent back.
Yeah, this is a complicated one. But even just getting a sense of what we're looking at here and giving people a little bit of a better understanding is really helpful. And Bill Bloss, I always appreciate being able to have your legal expertise and weighing in on these types of conversations. We certainly will see what happens next. Thank you so much.
Sure. Anytime.